One thing I'm seeing in this series on anger is that it's a subject that can be discussed almost endlessly. So I hope with one more episode to go, you don't feel exasperated by the subject, but actually benefited. I do so adore my loving, kind friends. I've learned that one of my joys in life is talking to my young friends and hearing how much smarter that they are than I was at their age. I feel like I need an if I die young statement for those friends. So here it is. If I die young, I hope everyone that I love knows it and knows what they will mean to me forever. Even dead, their love holds place in me. There's a part in this episode where something I said made me start to cry. When Caitlin asked me to elaborate, I cried more. And then after explaining, she jumped in to clarify my perspective and she set me straight because I was not seeing as much truth as I was seeing a fear of what I don't want to be. I don't think friends do that enough. I want to be corrected or told I'm not seeing something clearly when I'm not. I tried to cut out most of my words through tears because although it's common and easy for me to cry, I really don't like sharing it. Tears seem like a private thing, and I do think that's why when sitting with my friends in this private and intimate space of my recording studio, that more often than not, one of us says something that brings me to tears. It's fair to say the subject of anger is a sensitive one for me, but one that I want to heal and improve. So sometimes I can't cut out all the crying parts because it's part of the discussion. I guess that's just something I need to work on, like many things. I follow a lady on Instagram who recently said she has adopted a new practice of just accepting whatever arises, whatever comes up, whatever gets said, whatever changes get made, whatever last minute, whatever annoyance, whatever ugly thing. And I think she called it radical acceptance. I don't really remember, but that's what comes to mind, even though the way I'm using it isn't the way it's typically used. And I praised her for not just having a go, but genuinely finding a space inside her that was better because she wasn't fighting things that arise. I think that is part of the struggle with anger, fighting it as opposed to letting it be an emotion like I let other emotions just be. This isn't a fast process, the retaining the advice that my friends give me, just because they hear it and just because I am studying it as I edit these episodes doesn't mean I'm able to easily incorporate it. But I'm doing better. Genuinely, I'm doing better. So here is part 7 on anger with Caitlin. I'm sitting down with my friend Caitlin, actually for the second time, because the first time we recorded, I didn't notice that my microphone came unplugged until we were 30 minutes in. So we've had to coordinate and return to this. So Caitlin is a friend I've known for close to a year, but maybe not a full year.
I think in October. Okay. It'll be a year. Yeah. So close to
a year. Mm-hmm. She's 20.
That's so funny hearing you say that. I don't feel like I'm 20. I feel like I'm 40.
That was me at 20, actually. I had gone through so much and spent my 19th year in Romania. And so saying I was 20 was weird.
It's funny because I was talking to my old roommate. I was went out with some girlfriends and I was like, it was fun, but I just feel like even though I'm the same age as them, I'm at a different spot in life. And she's like, yeah, because you've gone through so much more. I feel like I'm like backtracking now, trying to hang out with kids my own age. You know what I mean? I don't know.
Yeah, I sometimes wonder if I didn't have so many young friends through my job, because most of the people I know and the people I call my friends have become so through my job. You know, you stick with the people that you really click with.
Yeah.
And I do. I sometimes wonder if I had like had an office job my whole life, if I would hang out with old people.
Yeah. Hang out with old people.
Because I literally don't. I hang out with young people. Yeah. I have a friend my age, and I have a friend a little bit older than me. But the people I spend most of my time with are a lot younger than me.
I'm kind of the opposite. Like, most people I spend my time with are older than me.
Well, it makes sense because we get along. In one of my last episodes, I talked about being a Taurus rising and a Capricorn moon. Mm-hmm. And for the listener, Caitlin is a Capricorn. I'm convinced that's why she and I get along so well. When we get laughing, we get laughing.
We do have a good time.
It's so true. Thank you so much for being willing to come and take part in this wondrous experiment. It's been so fascinating to hear the intimacies of anger with other people. Mm-hmm. To introduce you, who you are, can you share three words that you give great importance?
Yeah. I was actually thinking about this on the way over, trying to remember like the three words that I had given you the first time, and I can't remember. But I'm curious to see if they've changed, you know? I think like right now for me, a big one is authenticity, or like being genuine. I don't know what the word for like genuine
would be. Both of those.
I guess genuine, yeah. Just in what you do and what you say, being true to you. So that's be a big one for me right now. I think change. I think I said that last time too. I get so caught up in, like, oh no, I thought I was going to do this and I thought I was going to do that. And when plans change, life's changed, I feel like being able to rebound from that and come back to like a center point and just being okay with the change, letting it let you change, let your plans change. I think change is a good thing. So mm-hmm. That's a big one.
There have been times in my life where I've hated change. I've gotten into such a routine or rut or whatever that change appears and I'm like, I don't know what to do with this because I don't want it.
Yeah. Well, I feel like I used to be like something changed and my whole world would be rocked. And then it took me so long to come back to like, okay, let's start over. And then I spent so much time wasted on trying to just scrape by and get back to the point where I could restart. Being able to realize, okay, something's changed. That doesn't mean my whole life is in shambles. You know what I mean? Or I've strayed from my safe
point. You recover well.
Yes. Yeah.
Good. That's a quality so many people struggle with.
Well, I think that's something that I had to learn the hard way. And that was definitely through lots of trials and just learning. Like, that's not something that came easy to me, I don't think. So. And then my last word, I think priorities is a word that kind of like resonates with me right now. I feel like that priorities is what helps me like stay so centered when things change. Being like, okay, this is important to me, or this is where I'm going, and ABC or what I'm working on right now. So I think that just helps me stay centered in my life.
One of the friends that I recorded with, Andrea, what she did in her recording was she gave me three words that were of great importance to her. And then she gave me three words that she saw related to me.
Oh.
And so I would like to do that for you. Mm-hmm. I would like to say three words. I know that we have a time crunch, but I can do it pretty quickly.
Yeah, I'm not worried about it.
The first word came to me while you were talking, and it's one of the things that I love so much about you, and it's a word that holds great importance for me too, and that's sensible. You are very sensible. You can see big pictures, and you can analyze and make smart decisions. And I value that so much. And there aren't a lot of people in the world that do that. So in having spent a lot of time with you, that's one of my favorite things about you, is how sensible you are, which could easily pull in another word. So I'll go ahead and make it the second word, which is common sense. You're intelligent, but you also have common sense. And you can go, well, if I do it this way, then I can this. You can lay things out. I truly value that also. And then I'm coming up with these as I go. Yeah. So I haven't...
No, I'm flattered that you think those describe me.
I haven't thought of this ahead of time. My third word is going to be beauty, which you probably hear a ton because you're so beautiful. But the reason I say it is not just because you're so beautiful on the outside. You're so beautiful in and out.
Thank you.
And that's also rare, that people so stunning are so stunning on the inside. And so, yes, I adore you.
Thank you.
Okay, let's jump right in.
Okay.
Tell me how you see anger. Anything you have to say about it, your experience, your perspective, how you see it overall, doesn't matter.
For the most part, I feel like I don't get very angry. Like, anger is not my first reaction to a lot of things, and honestly, pretty hard to come by for me.
Yeah. I say that's lucky.
I think yes and no. I think because my first instinct kind of isn't to get angry or mad at that person. It's kind of to retract, where I'm like, oh, you are doing something I do not like or something that makes me upset. I'm not even going to interact with you because then I will get angry at you.
But, that's a good word, retract.
Mm-hmm. I don't want to say, I don't think that I like shut myself off or like run away from, but I say retract because I need a second to be like, okay, I need to cool down. I need to see what I'm feeling. And then we can talk about it and revisit it.
So you analyze, you retract, mm-hmm. and you analyze.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But an opinion of anger that I have that I think a lot of people see, not a lot of people, but maybe see differently. Like I use my mom for an example, is she always used to say, well, I can't make you mad or I can't make you angry. And I disagree. I'm like, you can't because you are, which I have always heard anger is a choice. Because sometimes I'm like, well, maybe, maybe not. And after kind of hearing what we talked about, I don't think it's a choice. Because for you, it just comes, that's your first instinct, is your first feeling is anger. And what I think is the choice is what you do with the anger. I'm not choosing to be angry at you, but my reaction is like the choice.
Yes.
That makes sense. And that's why I think my mom and I disagree is, you know, that's going to make me mad. Like,
and you do it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So right. This is an awful example, but I can't make you hurt and then I actually take a knife to you and cause pain.
Right.
That feels like the same thing to mm-hmm. me. So somebody cutting you and saying, I can't make you hurt
yeah.
while you're literally hurting.
Right. That's kind of how I see it, where I'm like, if you know already that what you're doing is going to make me mad or make me angry, how can you not make me mad? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's a bad way to say it. But
no, but you've literally chosen to upset me.
Right. And so I'm like, yeah, you can make me mad, but does that mean I need to lash out and yell at you and, you know, retaliate?
Yes.
No.
Exactly. So true.
I wish I was more well-spoken with that, but hopefully you got the message.
No, I'm following along thinking of an example of one time when my mom said to me, I can't make you angry. And I was like, are you kidding me right now? You've made me angry and now you're saying that?
Yeah.
You can't make me angry? And I agree. And I think moms have a special skill with that.
Yes. It must be a mom thing.
Yeah. Yeah. For the record, I am the same age as Caitlin's mom.
Which is so weird to me.
I hope I am nothing like a mom. In addition to moms, dads too have a skill. I feel like the people I've talked to have said less about their fathers than their mm-hmm. mothers. To me, not necessarily on the recordings, you know, because if I were to analyze it, maybe I'd have the same amount of mother and father making me angry comments. But I do feel that as women, our mothers can upset us very easily.
Yeah.
I don't know why that is. Maybe because so often we see who our mother is and we go, okay, I'm not going to be that woman. Or I'm not going to do that. We make choices based on who our mothers are and that we're not going to be. And when people really look up to their mothers, I find that fascinating. Not that my mother is not somebody to look up to, because she is. With my two parents, I had the examples of night and day.
Mm-hmm.
My father was awful. I don't think he's done a nice thing for anyone ever. My mother is so kind. Everybody loves her. She's called the butterfly lady because she makes butterflies and gives them to everybody. When people see her, they even will ask for butterflies. You know, she has quite the reputation. And this is her for years, just loving everyone. And most of my friends growing up called her mom. Mm. I didn't call any of my friends mom's mom. And everybody called my mom, mom.
Yeah.
So she is an awesome mom. But I think that's just the nature of the beast. We don't admire our mothers just automatically.
I think that's something that I have like grown to do. Because when I was younger, my mom and I did not get along at all. Like, could not stand to even be in the same room as each other for most of my teenage years. And now looking at it, I'm like, she is a pretty awesome woman. I think growing up and butting heads so bad with my mom, I didn't realize that a lot of her amazing like qualities and attributes are things we share. And I'm so much like her that now realizing it, I'm like, well, that makes sense why we butt heads so much. But I feel like now it's easier for me to be like, I do want to be like her. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously, parents make choices we don't agree with, parenting wise and things like that. But like all around, as I've gotten older, she's someone I look up to more and more.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Good. There's a lot that I learned about my mother as an adult that made me see her differently in a good way, you know, because God, what teenager does think their mom is great? I don't know. I think it's being a teen.
Yes.
I found out that because my mother respected the patriarchy so much that one time when my dad really hurt her, he threw a chair at her. She went to her church leader and asked him, should I leave my husband? I think she was seeking permission. Of course, I wasn't party to it at the time. I've heard this story from one of her oldest friends.
Yeah.
And that church leader told her to stay with my dad. Now, my dad didn't go to church. So that kind of surprises me that that was the advice. But my mom took it and she stayed. My dad actually was more physically abusive to my mother than us kids. Mm. And so she has a paralyzed vocal cord because of him. He's held a gun to her head. He used to threaten to kill us all the time, but she's the only one he ever actually pointed a gun at. So all of these things that she went through, she believed so strongly that she should follow her church leaders. And I can't help but admire that.
Yeah.
Because when faced with threats on your life, let's put it that way. When faced with threats on your life and believing you should listen to what your church leader says, she made the hard choice and stayed. And it was only when my dad threatened to kill us in a way that she believed that we finally left and she didn't seek anyone's permission. And so I'm not glad she stayed the first time, but I respect her strong beliefs. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad that in the end, she chose to believe what she felt.
Right.
She's a pretty cool woman. One of her friends said to me the other day that she never knew that mom was domestically abused. She never knew that about her. And we just happened to be at a birthday party and it came up. And so we were talking about it. And yeah, you just wouldn't know. My mom's such a nice woman. You know, everybody loves her. You just would never think that she's been through what she's been through. Yeah. She had two amazing parents. So it was a whole confusing thing to be dealing with the anger of my father constantly.
Right.
But I think also because of his anger, she has never turned to anger. I think anger has repulsed her. So she doesn't do angry. She really doesn't do angry. And if something upsets her, she's just all a fuffle. You know, it's like not, it's not real anger in a way.
I remember you said, this might have been on the podcast with JT, or you might have said it to me, I can't remember. But we're going to correct me if I'm wrong, but you almost feel guilty when you get mad, or you get upset at yourself for getting mad. Do you think that's because of like her example of when she gets mad?
It's more my dad's example. Mm. I don't want to be anything like him.
Oh, I could see where
you're
going.
And so I'm disappointed in myself.
Because why?
I want to be nothing like him. Nothing.
That's anger is a human emotion. That doesn't mean, just because you're angry doesn't mean you're like him. You could be angry and be like me because I get angry. You could be angry like your mom because she gets angry. And I think you're nothing like your dad. And so it makes me sad that you associate with you being angry to him. If you reacted to anger the same way your dad did, you'd be just like him. Just because you feel emotions that every human feels, I mean, your dad's human, so he feels them, does not mean you're like him.
That's sensible, Caitlin. Thank you.
Which doesn't mean you can't be upset about it. But you saying that, like, opens my eyes, because, like, it helps me understand as to why you feel that way. That would make sense.
Yeah. And I need to be sensible, exactly as you say, that just because my dad felt an emotion that I don't like doesn't mean I'm not going to feel that emotion too, because we're all human and we all have the same emotions. It's just in different measures and for different reasons. And
right.
So you're right. It doesn't make me like him. just to also experience anger.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if I need to work on the repulsion of being like him and change that to everybody feels anger. You don't need to be repulsed. Like, for example, this is an awful example, but it's the first one that comes to me. Pedophiles have a sex drive, but everybody has a sex drive. Right. It's what they do that's repulsive. So I wouldn't just go, oh, sex drives are repulsive.
Right.
It's just normal.
I think you have anger tied to the actions of your dad, whereas anger is an emotion. Reaction needs to be tied to what he did. Does that make sense?
Yes. I need to completely reframe the view, reframe the perspective, to use one of your three words. Thank you for saying that, because I needed that. This is yet another reason why my friends are as good or better at being a therapist to me. So along those lines, the realization of associations I have connected to anger, what's funny is they still keep coming. Are there any associations for you? We're all different. I'm always curious, what creates anger in you? What do you relate to anger? Anything along those lines?
Something that makes me angry, which, like I said before, I feel like I don't get angry a lot. But something that does make me angry is when I feel disrespected or belittled. When I feel like I'm underestimated or people are like, oh, she can't do that. I guess the word is belittled. It makes me angry. Just because I feel like it's disrespectful.
Yeah.
So I think disrespect would be one of my biggest and quickest ways to anger.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when people talk to me like I'm stupid.
Mm-hmm. Like talk down to me.
Yeah.
I just feel, not that I'm up on this high horse, but just mutual respect for anyone.
Yeah.
I don't really care who it is or who you are. I would expect the same respect I'd give you.
Honestly, the people that are on high horses are the people who talk in disrespect.
Mm.
So you aren't on a high horse. And it's very easy for you to communicate, even with strangers.
Mm-hmm.
It's easy for you to communicate in a respectful way. And that doesn't put you on a high horse. That makes you intelligent. Makes you emotionally intelligent, too.
I would say that's the biggest way. Another one is lying. When people lie to me. I think that's another way that I feel disrespected or like undermined a little bit, where I'm like, why would you lie to me about that? Or lying is like the biggest way of disrespect to me.
I totally agree with you on this.
I really don't ever feel like they're, I mean, of course there's once in a while a situation that really ever validates lying.
I can remember the last time I lied. I did it telling somebody I said this, so that I gave this impression to the people in the room because I didn't want anyone in the room to know the truth, even though this lie was just silly. It wasn't like a lie that equated to anything. I just said that a situation was because of da-da-da when it actually was because of la-la-la, you know. I just didn't want anybody to have any questions. And so I flat out lied, but told the person that was party to the situation that I said it was something it wasn't.
Yeah.
And then I asked myself, gosh, when was the last time I lied? I literally don't remember. And not that I'm like, oh, I'm such an honest person. But no, like lying, I consciously went weird.
Mm-hmm. That's a good thing that you were like, oh, that was out of the ordinary. Growing up, like being a teenager with my parents constantly. Oh, I'm with so-and-so. I'm out here. And just, you know, the white lies that all teenagers tell. But then there was one time I got caught in a lie with my parents. But I like had realized, I was like, oh, one, look how upset my parents are, but like no trust whatsoever. And I feel like I kind of had a like aha moment where I was like, oh, even if I told them I was going to so-and-so's house and I ended up going somewhere else, where I'm like, I need to not do that. Just because I feel like my relationship with my parents 100 times better when we're just so honest with each other. My dad really never got angry at us unless we lied.
Okay.
And so I think maybe that's where I get that from, is obviously how to learn the hard way, getting in trouble, getting caught, but being like, oh, I can see why this is one of the only thing that makes you mad, makes you angry. And so I feel like that's why I feel that way about it now.
Mm-hmm. As you were talking, I was thinking about the word trust and how it doesn't just get harmed through lies. Trust gets harmed in many ways, actually. Trust can be harmed through anger.
Mm-hmm.
And the value of trust, like, it's unquantifiable.
I was going to say, you can't even put a how valuable it is.
Yeah. That's how my friends are my friends, is trust.
Mm-hmm.
That's how those people who have stopped being my friends have stopped being my friends.
I totally agree.
Because trust disappeared.
I just think on it, I think about it as, like, to me, trust is like being able to rely on you. If I can't count on you as my friend, I don't want you as my friend. Or if I
can't count on you telling me the truth, if I can't count on you following through, if I can't count on you
defending my name to other people, like, yes. It all comes back to, really, do I trust you as a person and who you are? And do I trust that our friendship means enough to you to do all of those things? So,
yes. What's cool is that you're only 20 and you can totally see that as such an important thing related to your parents.
I think, yeah, like I said, I tend to learn things better if it's the hard way. They stick with me a little better. But that has been, like, since I moved out of the house, I don't feel as if I'm walking on eggshells, you know, because I can't really get in trouble with them.
Yeah.
But so that way, like, honesty and trust has come easier to the relationship. I see the benefits of, oh, wow, look how much our relationship has changed for the better since we're all being honest with each other.
Yeah, that's awesome. I have never struggled with honesty inside of a family.
Mm.
My sisters are very honest and I can trust them. My mom is very honest and I can trust her. And my dad hasn't been part of our family unit since we ran away when I was 11. So I don't even have to really equate him with that statement. It was only as an adult that he came back into my life and there was never any trust there.
Right.
And so, not like I spent a lot of time with him, but he would just show up at my house, which also didn't breed trust.
Yeah.
Because I could be, back when I worked nights, I could be rushing around the house to get ready for work and he'd turn up at the door and just happen to be driving by and thought he'd stop and say hi. And it's like, yeah, I literally can't talk to you right now.
Yeah.
I have a schedule and I have to keep it. And
yeah.
He was so like that. He'd never respected time. He didn't know how to respect. Courteous. Yeah. Mm. No. But I don't like talking about him as much as I have done in this episode. So I feel bad about that.
Oh.
I feel like I've brought him into it way too much, but. You made me think of something, and I don't really have good reason to share it, but that was the last time I was really angry. It was just a couple of weeks ago. I had started my period, and so I was in a lot of pain that day. And I've noticed that the whole hormonal craziness could be the day before, the day of, or the day after I start. Well, it happened the day of. So I was in pain. I was feeling like a total bitch. And I had cause to get angry. And honestly, my inability to calm down reminded me, I've only ever had 2 panic attacks. But when I had a panic attack, it felt super outside of my control,
mm-hmm.
which is one of the reasons it's so scary, because you can't breathe and you don't get to just decide, oh yeah, I can breathe fine. You know, you have all of these emotions and you can't breathe. And so it dawned on me how similar this anger attack was to a panic attack, not because I couldn't breathe, but because I didn't feel in charge.
In control.
Mm-hmm. I couldn't just decide myself out of it.
Yeah.
Which is one of the reasons why it's so maddening when somebody says you can choose anger. I just heard what I said and applied it differently. So I have a friend that I keep telling her she can choose not to feel anxiety. Choose differently. And she disagrees. And then I liken anger to a panic attack. And I go, she probably doesn't have the anger struggle. She only has the anxiety struggle. And we're both experiencing them so similarly. And there I am going, same. Oh no, you can choose it. I feel, for me, anxiety is the easiest thing to not choose.
Hmm.
Like, one of the easiest things to not feel anxious. And part of my reason for that, and maybe somebody who is seeking advice on dealing with their anxiety, like I'm seeking advice on dealing with my anger, would be interested to hear this. I find it so easy to not choose anxiety because it's making so many assumptions. about a situation, about what a person is saying or doing, about, like, there's so many factors for me in reaching a point of anxiety that I can't help but admit I don't know the truth of all of those things, all those situations. This plus this plus this equals anxiety. So if I choose anxiety, all the factors to get that sum could be incredibly wrong. So in that I can't control this state, I ended up doing what one could do during a panic attack. I took a shower, did not help, which really surprised me because showers often are the solution to many things for me. And then after that, I lay down with my dogs and I started breathing deeply. Mm-hmm. And that is what helped. That was how I finally calmed down, breathing and dogs.
That only makes me wonder if you're like, anger is connected to anxiety for you.
Well, I never feel anxiety. So that's why I don't feel as though that's true. Like if we analyze anxiety, help me build a list. There's social anxiety, fear, general fear.
Yeah, worried.
Worry, lack of confidence. Yeah. Sometimes self-esteem is an anxiety. Or poor self-esteem, discomfort. Overthinking, feeling incapable.
Yeah.
These are all things I feel I can absolutely control.
That would make sense.
I've spent so much of my life working on self-esteem and confidence and talking to strangers. Like I have so many years talking to strangers. Yeah. I can do it all the time. I do it every day. Mm-hmm. Hundreds of people, thousands in a week. I feel like I can carry on a conversation, you know, a 3-minute conversation with anyone about anything. So anxiety feels really far away.
Okay.
And worry too. I absolutely see worry as a choice. And I have a friend that I've said to before, I'm not going to worry about you because I don't want to send you worry energy. So if I am feeling worry and I'm thinking about you, all I'm doing is sending you worry energy rather than positive energy or happy energy, joy. I could be sending so many other feelings attached to your name and your face. So I try really hard to never do the worry thing with that friend. And it would be easy because that friend and I aren't in touch often.
Yeah.
The not knowing, how's my friend today? And they jump into my mind so sudden. One might go, do I need to worry? Why did they jump into my mind?
Yeah.
They're so loud right now. But I consciously say, okay, I'm not going to worry about that person. Mm-hmm. Even if, let's say they did have something bad happening, why would I want worry energy to go towards
them?
Yeah. Exactly. Those are the words. Anyway, worry is so not what I'm going to choose. Anxiety, anxiousness, anger appears. I don't know how to not let it. So yeah, that whole argument. I don't know if I've suggested you listen to my podcast episode. Is anger a choice?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. I feel like I have beat that like a dead horse. Is that the expression?
Yeah,
so I don't mean to repeat myself so much, but yeah. If anybody ever can see anxiety in me, I'd love to have it pointed out because maybe I'm not seeing it and it's there.
Mm-hmm.
But that was part of why I ended the therapy too, is she wanted to argue with me that anxiety was part of anger and we weren't addressing anger.
Yeah.
And the online therapy contained so much about anxiety that I'm like, this is so not for me.
Right.
Oh, and when I said to her, because she almost wanted to argue it, and so I Googled it, my response to her, well, Google says da 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 da. She heard it completely wrong. And she replied, well, because the therapy has a chat.
Mm.
We don't have to do during sessions. We can still have this ongoing text dialogue is what it basically is. I'm glad you looked that up and I'm glad you found it is part of anger. And I was like, no. What it said was that anxious people can reach a point where anger is a problem.
Yeah.
I'm the opposite. I'm an anger person. Maybe I could reach a point where anxiety was a problem.
Right. Flip it around for you.
So you misunderstand.
That's funny to me. She would try to argue that with you.
That was actually my last text was, but I'm not going to argue my feelings.
Yeah. Well, you should have to.
Yeah.
Especially to someone that's there to listen to you.
I'm telling you my feelings.
Right.
You're the therapist.
Yeah. This is, I'm not your therapist. Let's be clear.
The time before this that I did therapy, it was a couple years ago now. That therapist would be like trying to stifle his yawns. And it was in person. That one was in person. He would be trying so hard to hide the fact that he was yawning. And I'm just sitting there talking, going, I see this. Yeah, like, don't think I don't see you struggling to stay awake.
Yeah.
I'm so fucking boring.
Sorry, my trauma is not that interesting to you.
Oh, gosh.
I think therapy can be beneficial, but I feel like there's other avenues. Therapy is not for everyone. And I feel like even more nowadays, everyone's like, well, just go to therapy. You need therapy. And it's like, no, maybe I don't need therapy. I need something else that's going to help me. And I don't know if I told you this. Did I ever tell you that I was engaged? Did I ever tell you that?
Yes.
After that all happened, I started therapy. And I was telling her, like, here's what I'm dealing with, whatever, blah, blah, blah. And I felt, she's like, okay, well, here's what I think that you should be dealing with. Let's not deal with that. And I'm like, I didn't come to you to deal with other aspects of my life. I want to work on this. And so I did a couple sessions with her. And I was like, I just don't think this is going to work for me. Because again, I felt what I was saying was going in one ear out the other. And,
yes.
You know, she just wasn't understanding.
It's actually something I have written right here is one of my triggers for anger can be people not listening.
Mm-hmm. But I ended up doing life coaching instead, which I found so much more beneficial for me. Because I would tell her what I'm dealing with. Here's the problem. Here's what I want to fix. And she would give me the tools to fix that issue.
Huh.
And so, like, anxiety was one of those things. Here's 5 things that you can do today, start today, to help you deal with that. We check in next week. Here's 5 more exercises you need to be working on. Like, let's check in. What's the thing else you're dealing with?
So she was considered a life coach,
mm-hmm. So
not
she wasn't,
a therapist.
Correct. So she's not, didn't go to school for, she doesn't have a degree in family therapy or anything. She's certified life coach. I'd actually recommend her to anyone. My mom did it, and that's how I found her. At first, I was skeptical. I was like, this is so dumb. Like, what even is a life coach? And just the thought of that to me was like, I don't need this.
Yeah, the term is a little bit silly.
Yes. And that's what turned me off from it for so long. Anyways, but I started doing it and I found that so, so beneficial for me because I want solutions. And often I feel like going to therapy, you're breaking down what I'm feeling. You're telling me why I'm feeling that way, but you're not giving me a solution. Maybe I am angry. Again, your therapist thought you're angry because of anxiety. Awesome. Cool. You feel that way. How do I fix it? And so that's why I feel life coaching was so good for me, is because I was given the tools. Well, I mean, she told me why she thought I was feeling that way, maybe the underlying issues, but how to not feel that way.
Mm-hmm. You know, the dude who was trying not to yawn in front of me, after 4 visits with him, my friend Carla said to me, so what's his plan for you?
Mm-hmm.
And I hesitated, trying to analyze the question based on the therapy. I was like, there isn't a plan.
Mm-hmm.
And she goes, so he's just stirring the pot? Like, you're talking and crying? Because I had just said to her, I feel like every time I go, I leave and I only feel worse.
Yeah. That was my other thing. I felt so emotionally drained from therapy that I'm like, I feel like I'm at the bottom of the hole again.
Like, yeah. A so, deeper hole.
Yes. Yes.
It's almost like every therapy session dug the hole deeper.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly how I felt. And, go ahead, sorry.
No. I was just going to say, and Carla said, well, he's just stirring the pot. So you need a therapist who's going to say, we're going to work on this, like a plan. And I was like, I can't even imagine what a plan would be.
And that was the first thing. Her name's Tina. So I met with her for an hour a week, every week for 6 months, I think. And I want to say almost the first month was, who do you want to be? What's important to you? And what's your goal from out of this? And that's the thing, is we sat down and we made a plan. Here's the top qualities. Here's what I want to achieve. Here's what I don't want to be. Here's what I do want to be. Okay, perfect. Cool. We're going to reach the end goal. Again, what am I getting out of this? And so with life coaching, I felt that there's a finish line. Like, the goal was to reach here and get to here.
Yeah.
And so that's why I feel like, personally for me, it was just, I feel like I was working towards something. Whereas therapy, I feel like I'm sitting on a couch for an hour bawling. For what benefit?
Yeah.
Cool. See you next week. Okay.
Let me cry for you next week.
Cool. Can't wait to see you. Yeah.
But you should be paying me.
Yeah. I'm entertaining you at this point.
Yeah. What's interesting is, as I talk to people, and, you know, I'm only talking to people that I talk to on a regular basis anyway, people I'm intimately familiar with. But to come into a recording studio and to have a very specific topic and to address it, I'm hearing things I've never heard. I'm getting validation I never expected. And it's unfolding in such a helpful way. And maybe it's just because this is who I am, that I need something to be more concentrated. You know, we're in a small room. We have an agenda. We aren't multitasking.
Yeah.
We're not chatting and working. We're not hanging out, doing something fun and talking.
Right.
So maybe I need to do more topics like this where I'm the one deciding what we're talking about and say, hey, I need input on this thing because this is already, I've got 10 lined up. I don't know if all 10 are going to end up showing. I shouldn't say showing. I don't know if all 10 are going to end up part of the final result. But already it's like, oh my gosh, this is so neat. This is actually actionable.
Yeah.
Whereas 7 weeks of therapy, well, I should say therapy in air quotes.
Yeah.
Seven weeks of meeting with somebody and doing homework that didn't apply to me.
Yeah.
You know, because it was videos online. Yeah, this is already so good.
Good.
It's already 2:20.
I know. Time doesn't exist in your house. I walk in and time's not real. That's not really how I feel, because every time I come over, I'm like, okay, I'll leave in like an hour and a half. And I'm like, oh, I've been here for 3.5 hours. Gotta go. See ya. It's like a time warp in here. It's Alice in Wonderland, or. Anyways.
Leslie, I just have to thank you for coming back. I'm so grateful that you give me time specifically for this, and you've given it to me twice. I know that everybody says that it's not a hardship, but that doesn't change the size of my gratitude.
Well, thank you. No, I'm glad I could. Like I said, I learned something new every time I talk to you. So it was good to just bounce some stuff off. Yeah.
Same here. Same here. Clearly you teach me also. So thank you so much. And I love you.
I love you.
That's always a good ending.